Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Brendan Dillon strong on the puck. Outlets to Schultz. Schultz galloping through center with Hathaway. Hathaway back for Schultz. He'll score! Justin Schultz!
And look at that. Bench erupt for the Capitals. Not only on the ice, but on the bench. The guys are going crazy. 6.4 to go. What a play.
Isles get the draw, wristed towards the cage, blocked out of there, and they're up on the bench, jubilant for Washington as time expires. A 3-2 decision for the Capitals.
This is playoff mentality right now, and I'm not quite sure that we're in our playoff mentality right now, which is really pissing me off.
It's pissing Barry off. It really is. It's pissing me off. I'm sure you're all pissed off too, and I thought that was kind of like a great theme for episode 50 of the Isles Faithful podcast. So with that new crazy little bit of intro I'll be doing from time to time here, taking some game audio, some post-game audio, which you'll see throughout the course of the podcast here tonight. This is episode 50 of the Isles Faithful podcast. 50. I should have probably reached 50 months ago or a year ago. I apologize for not really sticking to a schedule that I had in the inaugural season of the Isles Faithful podcast, but life gets in the way. But life also finds a way, as they say in Jurassic Park. So welcome back to the Isles Faithful podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein, and this is episode 50, as I mentioned three times already. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2021, and we're going to be discussing the disgusting last few games the New York Islanders have put out, and as Barry told us, is pisses him off. Pissed me off, too. So where are we going to start? Islanders shut the Rangers out. Rangers shut the Islanders out. Then Islanders shut the Devils out. Devils shut the Islanders out, right? Or something like that. Shut out. No, that's not right. That's incorrect. Boston. The Islanders shut Boston out 1-0. Then they get a win against the Devils. Devils come, shut them back out. So two of Ilya Sorokin's first NHL starts, the first of which against the Rangers, the second game of the back-to-back series there. Varlamov gets hurt in warmups thanks to Clutterbuck. That pissed me off there too. And he is thrust into his first NHL start. Didn't even know he was going to start. Is what it is. Islanders gave him absolutely no support whatsoever. A little bit on the goaltender for being nervous. A lot on the Islanders themselves for not giving him any run support, as they like to say. Same deal the other night. He gets his first scheduled start. And what happens? The Devils shut out the New York Islanders 2-0. Now, obviously, and I'm not going to say obviously as many times as I did last episode, I promise. I actually have it written down on my pad here. Mike, do not say obviously 77 times. Obviously. So now that I got that out of my system, I thought the Islanders were playing way worse in front of him in all aspects. And he, I'm referring to the white whale, Ilya Sorokin. Shots-wise, it's been pretty even across the board. 31, 28, 27, 23, 33. So in the two starts for Sorokin, the loss against the Rangers was 23 shots, and the loss the other night against the Devils, 28 shots. So they've been playing relatively the same in front of him, trying to at least generate offense, not getting any, which is a theme here now. But, you know, you got to give the kid credit. He did come up with some big saves. It's not going to be easy going the first year of his career, adjusting to the North American ice, the North American game, angles and whatnot. Especially without fans in the building, it's kind of hard to build off energy. It might actually benefit him that the building is so quiet because he could just kind of focus on what makes his game so great. But, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. We're going to have to show a little bit of patience. And Barry's going to have to try to do something to get the boys going here. And, you know, I'm not sure what it's going to be. Rolling Ross Johnston, Matt Martin, and Leo Komarov is just not going to be the answer. I said that on Twitter how many times the other night? Again, I just was so aggravating. I'm still aggravated. I don't know if you saw this morning. I woke up aggravated about the loss last night. For the Islanders to weather the stupid five-minute major that really shouldn't have been a major, I was barely paying attention in the third period last night, so you could correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't really look at the replay, but do I agree that it should have been a major? No. Is it suspendable? We didn't hear anything today, so I don't know. The league's just going to leave it at that. But to throw him back out there, Leo Komarov, late in the game, after he takes that stupid penalty, which pissed me off, they weather the storm. The Capitals march down. Leo is basically trying to water ski back into the defensive zone. And what happens? As you heard right off the jump, bad things happen. The Capitals celebrate at their bench. Islanders basically gave the game away in the under the final half a minute of the game, 27 seconds. It's just unacceptable. Unacceptable. He throws a bunch of rotating wingers out there with J.G. Pageau, and you're going to expect him to be able to be what he was in the postseason. It's just not happening right now. Will we see some roster moves here to put some players back on the taxi squad and bring some players back up? I would hope so. You know, and last night, you know, I definitely got on Trotz for some of the things that he said in the postgame. I did. I got on some of the personnel decisions. My faith in Barry Trotz is still there. I'm allowed to be upset. I'm allowed sometimes to be upset at the judgment of a coach. He's not going to be perfect 82 games a season, or in this case, 60-some-odd games a season, or 56, or whatever it is. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't happen in professional sports, just like the players aren't perfect every single game. I get it. I understand that. I accept it. I'm still going to be pissed about it when it doesn't really work out the way that I would like it to, but I digress. He's down a guy already. Anthony Beauvillier went to injured reserve. We didn't really hear anything aside from the fact that it's an upper body injury. Could it have been a back? Could it have been a shoulder or a wrist? In that Devils game, one of the players fell on him kind of awkwardly, and we don't really know the extent of what his injury is. Hopefully, it's none too serious because a healthy Bo makes this team that much better. But are you seeing right now the struggles of the Islanders defensively a little bit, the struggles offensively a little bit, because they did not sign Derek Brassard? Was he that important? Was he that much of a difference maker defensively? I know it's another guy they could throw out there as a center, but to throw Ross Johnston, Matt Martin, and Leo Komarov out there in lieu of that, and to rotate two of those three with Pageau, come on now, you're just doing a disservice. And Andrew Gross did his best in the postgame to kind of talk to Barry about that. And Barry had this to say.
The lineup choices you did make with Bo out, you're getting Bellows in, you know, and putting him in the top six. And then Leo and Ross with Pageau. To get more than one line going, what do you think you need, you know, from Pageau's line and, you know, and with Pageau?
Are you sure you're talking? I'm talking about Pageau.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying in general. And I
Pager's been fine for me.
Yeah.
So hopefully you found that kind of as funny as I did, a very dejected Andrew Gross of Newsday, just perplexed at Barry Trotz's answering of his question or lack thereof. To me, this is probably the most frustrated I have seen Barry Trotz, or not seen, but heard Barry Trotz since he's been head coach of the New York Islanders. And I mean, rightfully so. I mean, we're frustrated, right? So can you imagine going over tape, practicing, doing the things day in and day out that this team needs to do to try to move ahead here, ahead of a 500-3-3 record here, six games into the shortened season, and they throw out, what do you even say? They throw out performances like that last night? It's just terrible. And you had Arthur Staple a little while later try to get a little bit more out of Barry Trotz for some lineup changes. Obviously, you want to see some of the kids back in there in Wahlstrom and give Bellows a little bit more freedom. I thought he's looked pretty decent. Michael Dal Colle, I know some of you on Twitter as well have been bashing the heck out of him. He only was really in there the one or the two games. And to be quite honest with you, I thought he was more visible in those games than Ross Johnston was. And I don't mind Ross Johnston every now and then. I want him to be able to be inserted into the lineup when they need a little bit of toughness, when they need a little bit more grit. If, say, Matt Martin is going to sit, or Casey Cizikas or Cal Clutterbuck or one of those three from the identity line, which that's another story in and of itself, which we'll get into in a little while. But the identity line has been struggling, absolutely struggling. And it's a testament to what I think the problems are with this team right now. Who the hell are they? This was the team that almost made it through the Eastern Conference Final last year. And I get it. It was a bubble season and all these other crazy problems. But the Islanders on paper did not lose anybody, really. They lost Derek Brassard, and they traded Devon Taves. And to be quite frank with you, Noah Dobson, aside from a couple of those egregious, or however the hell you say that word, egregious giveaways and gaffes in the Ranger game, he has looked fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Notched a goal last night. I'm not 100% sure if it was his first NHL goal or not. I probably should. Once again, Mike, you have notes in front of you that you think you maybe could have actually looked that up. But I digress. Whatever. It is what it is. I know I suck at that. So again, Dobson makes up for the loss of Taves. And we said that in the first episode this season. But this identity line, with the lack of an identity or the identity crisis or what, because there's really no preseason, there's no time to waste here, guys. None. And I think that's what Barry is talking about. He's pissed off. The common theme here. So let's go into a little bit with who they could potentially be bringing up from the taxi squad. Barry had this to say to our friend Arthur Staple from The Athletic.
I know it's not a line that you think about changing up much, but your fourth line had a couple of opportunities in the zone, but not enough, I would imagine, for you. Do you feel like maybe they need a shake up as well?
Well, there's got a few guys that need a shake up. I need more from them. There's not a lot. I always look at, do you have impact in the game? How much impact do you have in your role? We got some guys that don't have a lot of impact in their roles or their game, so we'll shake it up.
Again, Barry a little defensive, a little off-put by the line of questioning, and not really giving much of an answer. Obviously, there it is again. We're going to see some changes. Didn't really allude to much. But calling out some of those guys that are supposed to be character guys, they need to bring more. They're not bringing their identity. They have no identity. They're not bringing that jam or moxie or whatever you want to call it. And hopefully the guys respond. A good coach uses the media like this, as we all know, to light a fire under some butts. You're not going to show me your absolute best 100% of the time. Well, guess what? You'll be watching from upstairs. Or guess what? In a normal season, you'll be a healthy scratch multiple games. If it gets to that point, your butt could be riding the pine down in Bridgeport. Who knows? Obviously, those are not options this year. The options are a scratch, a rotation to the taxi squad, or that's it. You know, you're either going to be playing or you're not. So we're just going to have to see how it shakes out. And those in the know and those who cover the team on a day-to-day basis will update us on Twitter or on the NHL website or Sirius Satellite Radio, what have you. One or two more other bad things I guess we can be talking about is the power play, which once again continues to struggle here this season. The Islanders' power play is clicking at a rate of 16%. Not good. Over the last six games, the Islanders were 0-2 against the Devils, 2-3 the second game against the Devils, 0-5 against Boston, 0-4 against the Rangers, and in the first game of the season, which should have really been an exhibition game, with 2-7. So, not very good. That 16% efficiency on the power play puts them at 20th in the league of 31 teams. So that's not exactly the greatest. The penalty kill, a little better at 84%. And that puts the Islanders close to the top of the league. They are... I can't see around my microphone. Number 10, just ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights. So not all bad on the special teams. They need to definitely find a little bit more success on the power play, which looks like, once again, they're struggling. But why are they struggling? They're struggling because the team is what it is. They did not pick up the sniper that they so desperately need, which they were in cap hell. It took them most of the offseason and then some, if it would have been a regular season, to sign Barzal. You know, we talked about this last episode. So they signed Barzal, they signed Pulak, they signed Matt Martin. I know I can hear you guys screaming over the silence of my headphones, but again, Matt Martin's Matt Martin. At least we know what we're getting from him. Might not be much at times, but he did come up clutch in the playoffs, and he is that character guy. I'm kind of happy that he's going to be able to finish out his career in New York where he belongs. He is the mayor of Long Island, after all. Some of the good things we're seeing here is Semyon Varlamov's having a solid season. We know he had two shutouts back-to-back. He had a pretty good shutout streak going there of more than two games, but he's sitting at number two under Anton Khudobin in the goals against at one even. His save percentage is best in the league at .966, and he has the most shutouts tied with John Gibson for two. So you got that. That's a positive. Hopefully the Islanders can continue to ride the strong play of Varlamov. They really, really, really need to pick up the offense in front of him as well as Ilya Sorokin. So that's something to look forward to. It's something to look ahead at, I should really say. You know, my brain's not functioning. One of the things I think we should also be looking out for here is, you know, would the Islanders potentially trade for a little bit of help? We know the team is what it is, obviously. That's a deserved obviously there. But they can stand a little bit of help if they don't seem to kind of find their groove. And again, it's six games into the season. I'm not terribly concerned just yet. It could be a whole heck of a lot worse. But when you have teams like Dallas, who have had all this time off, and their season was delayed due to COVID because of some of the players testing positive for COVID. They had all that extra time to prepare. And they're scoring at a ridiculous rate on the power play. Obviously, it's unsustainable, obviously. But, you know, that's how they're getting things done. And you could totally tell what a little bit of extra practice does for a team that was cold and had to sit idle because of COVID. Going back to a few more of the positives for the New York Islanders, how good are they on the faceoff dot? You got everybody winning draws. Aside from last night against the Capitals, they seemed to struggle a couple of times there. But Brock Nelson getting it done. Josh Bailey, when he gets thrown in there, getting it done. Our boy, J.G. Pageau, getting it done. Barzell, getting it done. And speaking of Barzell, how good and driven does he look so far this season? A couple of multi-point games already. What are we looking at here specifically? Six games, three goals, three assists, 6 points, plus three, 8 penalty minutes, 1 power play point. His face-off percentage is 58.2. And we can go down the line, as you know, to reference some of the other players for the faceoffs. Anders Lee, 47%. Brock Nelson, 52%. JG, 61%. Josh Bailey, 60%. Casey Cizikas, who I failed to mention before, 63%. Ross Johnson, 33%. So they're getting it done up and down, and it's good to see. But Barzell, stronger this year. Harder to knock off the puck. He's still been drawing a couple of penalties here and there, so that's a positive. And, you know, he's really showing that no worse for the wear, and the contract behind him, he's probably feeling like $1 million. So that's awesome, and it's great to see. He's definitely someone the Islanders need to be going. We just need a few more of the forwards to kind of kick it into higher gear here. We saw Jordan Eberle pot a couple of goals, seems to have gotten a little bit of confidence back. It had been quite some time, obviously, since he played last, and he's an extremely streaky goal scorer. So to see him pot one early in the season is a positive, as we're on that theme. Again, I'm still pissed off, and I hope you guys are too. I did have to come down a little bit off of the high there, or the low, so to speak, with the yelling. I really wanted to yell for an entire 30 minutes, but I don't think I would have had it in me. Again, so moving forward, the Islanders are going to be facing off against the Caps again tomorrow on Friday. And who else do we have coming up here? Caps on Friday, Philly 2 days in a row, Saturday and Sunday. And that's going to close out the month. So we'll reconvene again after this next stretch of games, which also, how cool is it? I know my wife hates it, but how cool is it that there is hockey basically every other day now? There's a lot of hockey. I think there was 13 games last night. So for you super fans who have NHL Center Ice, I'm sure your head was spinning from all the hockey. And I can't wait for just the season to be in full court press here and seeing good hockey. I don't want to see crap hockey. I don't want to see coaches pissed off. I don't want to see players look dejected. I don't. Who the heck wants to see that? It'd be great to see the Islanders make other teams do that for sure, but hopefully they get things going here sooner rather than later. So overall, I think I pretty much covered everything that I wanted to get to today, at least on my notes. I know I freewheeled a little bit here. I did a little loop back action with some of the audio highlights and the lead in there, and I did a little something different at the beginning. So let me know on Twitter, or, you know, however else you want to contact me, the Facebook page or Instagram or wherever. Let me know how I did. Let me know if you like this new way of doing things. I'm trying to do things a little differently here. It's getting a little stale, and I want to try to have a little more fun with it, vibe a little bit more. I think the audio kind of did some good things. So let me know. If you don't follow me on Twitter, please do. The show has its own Twitter account at Faithful Isles. Well, you'll see some show announcements and some questions and whatnot. You can follow me on my personal account at Isles Blogger. Follow the Facebook page, Faithful Isles. And subscribe to the podcast if you don't. It really helps get the podcast out there to more people. All the crazy algorithms that Apple and the other manufacturers use, all that crazy internet mumbo jumbo. But get some fresh reviews on the iTunes page. Please subscribe wherever, however. There's a handy dandy link that I post from time to time that'll bring you to the actual website where I list all the different places the podcast is available. So again, hit me up. Let me know what you thought of this episode and if I should continue to do something similar in the future. The Islanders face off against the Capitals tomorrow. Hopefully I don't have to have a pissed off episode or lead off with Barry being all pissed off as well. And maybe Andrew Gross will actually get his question answered in the next post-game press conference. We shall see. So, all in all, I hope you enjoyed episode 50 of the Isles Faithful podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schierlein. And remember, let's go, Islanders!